Good morning, TGP. Apparently, I accidentally had sideways thing going on. I'm trying this on my phone today. We'll see how it goes. Yeah, I thought, man, what a beautiful day outside. Quarantine still lets you go outside. It feels awesome outside. I hope everybody gets to go for a walk or play outside today and do something. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 4 this morning. So I'm going to read Galatians 4, give a few thoughts. And I'll post also an album from a church I used to be part of that writes a lot of their own music, kind of like we do at TGP. That's excellent, and it has a lot to say about, a lot of their songs say a lot about what we're going to read about in Galatians 4. But let's go. Let's jump in. So we just finished Galatians 3:29, where it says, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. And now he will talk about heirs again. And so it says in Galatians chapter 4, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not God's. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid that I may have labored over you in vain. Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first, and although my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I'm perplexed about you. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now, this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. Wow, lot going on in that passage, as always. There's such hope and such joy in this idea of God giving us the adoption as sons. So that's the first thing in verses 3 through 7. This idea that we are no longer slaves, But we are sons, and we have the Spirit of the Son, of the Son, the divine Son of God in our hearts. And He elicits this cry from us that says, Abba, Father. And so we reach out and call out and cry out to God as Father, because we have the Spirit of His Son. We have the adoption as sons, which is wonderful. And then from that, everything else that Paul says in chapter 4 comes. And so he's basically explaining this. And so one of the things that I think it's interesting to point out is that back in chapter 1, when we were reading, chapter 2, those false brothers wanted to bring them into slavery through asking them to keep the law again. And this is what he's talking about. He said, you were enslaved. You're free now. You're not enslaved to those things anymore. But he says, when you go back to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, these, he'll explain that in Colossians as things like do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Basically the law, when you go back to the law, you're becoming slaves once more. Paul talks about the fact that it was of a bodily ailment. A lot of commentators and scholars believe that Paul had bad eyesight, and that's why they would have gouged out their eyes and given them to him. You come to this idea of the free woman and the slave woman, and so Paul looks back on the story of Abraham and Sarah and Hagar, which happens, Genesis 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, that area of the Old Testament. And you have this promise that comes to Abraham that he will have a son. He says, about this time next year, I will visit you and you will have a son. And so what Abraham does is he thinks, well, I am old and my wife is old, and she's been barren, her whole life. She's 90. 89, I guess, at that time. She's, and so what God must mean is that I need to have a child. And I think, Sarah plays a part in this as well. Sarah and Abraham, they decide to help God out in helping him keep his promise. And so they say, well, what this must mean is that God wants me, Abraham says, to have sex with Hagar, and I hope nobody's watching this with kids, sorry, and have a son through her. So that's what he does. And after that's happened, Abraham pleads and says, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God's like, no, I will bless him for your account, but you're going to have a child with Sarah. And that's the child of promise. Isaac becomes the child of promise. And then there's a point in time where, Ishmael, the son born with Hagar, the Egyptian, he persecutes and makes fun of Isaac, and then Sarah wants to cast out the slave woman, and so anyway, Paul is looking at this story. Maybe you go back and read that. Paul's looking at this story, and he's saying, this is like people in Jerusalem that want to keep the law and think that they're going to be justified by works of the law. They're Hagar's children. They're the children of Sinai, of Mount Sinai, this covenant of works that breeds death and that does not save people. And then he says, but there's this other woman, this other covenant, this new covenant, who is Sarah, and she is the wife of promise, and Isaac is the child of promise, and he's the one that was born out of the promise and was given the promises of God. The promises of the covenant were passed on to him. And so he's looking at that and he's saying, that's like now when you want to be justified by the law, you are in slavery like Hagar and Ishmael. You're a child of the flesh. You're thinking that you need to help God out to fulfill his promises through your works. And then you have the children of the promise, the children of the free woman, and you're set free from that bondage. You're not a slave anymore. And like you said at the beginning, you're now a son. You're brought into the family through the promise. And the promise was fulfilled through Christ. We read yesterday when Kevin read Galatians 3 that the promise is to Christ, and the promise is through Christ, and it's according to grace because of the promise. And so you can read, like, Romans 4 also talks about this, And Romans 5, you know, he's going through this same story of Abraham, and he's talking about Abraham being the man of faith. So read Romans 4 and 5 for more information on that. But there's so much hope, because we who believe in Christ, who are of the faith, who we have faith, and we trust the finished work of Christ, those of us who are trusting that are not children of the slave woman. We're children of the promise and children of the free woman. And Paul is trying to help them see how much better it is to trust Christ than to trust our own flesh and our own works. And so, good gracious, like I said, we could keep going on this. We could keep talking. My prayer today is going to be that we will rest in the finished work of Jesus, and in our union with him. Again, like this wonderful truth that by faith we are united with the Son in his life and death and resurrection, to the extent that God counts his perfection as our perfection and his death as our death and his new life as our new life, such that in Colossians in a few days we'll read that our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And when he appears, we will appear with him in glory. We are forever united with the Son of the promise, and we are children of the promise. What hope! What a great truth. We do not have to work to add to our salvation. We do not have to work to maintain our salvation. God has finished it and is perfecting it in us, even in this moment, as we believe. So let's pray. Father, I am so grateful for this beautiful truth of your grace and the freedom that we have in Christ, that we don't ever have to do a moment's labor to gain or maintain our justified status before you. That because Jesus is alive and he lives with an indestructible life, because he will never die again, our hope is secure. Our destiny is settled in him. Help us continue to believe. God, strengthen our faith in this time. Grow us up into every way into him who is our head. God, thank you for this day that we get to walk around and be on your beautiful earth that you've created, that we get to be creatures who bear your image, and who are bearing the image of your Son as we are united with him. God, help us press into our union with Christ. Help us to love you more. Help us to cry out to you as our Father. Lord, we are helpless. We are needy. And I thank you that you have helped us and that you've met our deepest need in Christ. And Lord, I pray that through this time of this COVID-19 pandemic, Lord, that you would bring more people to be united with Christ by faith, that they would see your grace and that they would turn. Lord, I pray that, I think about, you know, when Jesus asks, when the Tower of Siloam fell on people, he said, do you think that they were greater sinners than you? But unless you repent, you likewise will perish. God, I don't believe it's because people were worse sinners that they've got this, but I do pray that everyone looking at this, this pandemic that's spreading around the world, would see that death is their destiny, and Lord, that we all will die, we all will perish without Christ, unless you intervene and do a work. And so, God, I pray that you would do this wonderful work of salvation in people's hearts as they confront their own mortality, as they see their own need of Christ. God, I pray that you would get great glory even through something like this horrific pandemic. And I pray, Lord, that you would help to slow this virus. God, that you yourself would slow this virus and that you would get glory through that, Lord, and that you would turn back the effects of it, and that your grace would cover our world, and that your glory would fill the earth as the waters cover the seas, Lord. We pray over the poor and people who are vulnerable, God, and ask that you would meet them in a special way and would minister to them and protect them in a special way. And Lord, I just, there's so much that I probably forget to pray for. And I just pray that your will would be done and that your glory would prevail and that the good of your church would go forth and that your kingdom would advance even in the middle of this extremely difficult worldwide emergency and crisis, Lord. God, you're not taken by surprise and you can work. I believe that you can. I believe that you will. God, I pray that you would protect your sheep who are scattered all over the world and that you'd protect your people in central Louisiana. Protect your people at TGP Wardville. Grow in them your kingdom. Grow in them a generosity and a joy in Christ as you slow us down. Help us to contemplate our union with Christ, to think on the beauty of Christ and his great sacrifice. Jesus, we thank you for your life, death, and resurrection. And we make this prayer in your name. Amen. I hope y'all have a great day, and I'll not be doing it tomorrow, but I think Josh Barrett is going to do Galatians 5 tomorrow, and then I think Alex Robertson is in for Galatians 6 on Saturday. And so what I'll just say is I'll see you Sunday. Love y'all.